A new Mexican restaurant, Hot Taco, opened in Charlotte's South End this month, but it's not the food that's attracting attention. It's two statues outside the front door. They depict two sleeping Mexican men in large sombreros. More than 300 people have signed an online petition to remove the statues, calling them racist and ignorant of Mexican history. But reporter Nick De La Canal looked at the symbol's history and found it's not so cut and dry.
You've probably seen the image before. A Mexican dressed in a traditional white shirt and sodape, a huge sombrero covering his face. He sleeps against a wall, or sometimes a cactus. Some people have named him Pancho or Ramon, but often he's referred to simply as the Sleeping Mexican. His image sparked protest in San Antonio when the city planned to include him in a mural a few years back. Taco Bell used him in their logo until Latino activists pressured the company to stop. He even had a role on The George Lopez Show when George's neighbor buys a sleeping Mexican for his lawn and later accuses George of smashing it in the middle of the night.
Oh, come on. You were at my house last night. I know you saw it.
That doesn't mean anything. Maybe the statue woke up, realized it was a racist lawn ornament, and smashed itself.
Amalia Deloney agrees the figures are racist. She was disappointed when she saw the statues outside Hot Taco when she ate there earlier. Deloney, who immigrated from Guatemala as a child, sent a letter to the restaurant, and she started an online petition asking Hot Taco to remove the statues. She says they perpetuate the lazy Mexican stereotype.
You know, this is an old racist trope. What we're talking about is the power of an image when it becomes negative and when it comes to stand in for all kinds of other things which lead to harmful treatment of communities of color in particular. And here we're talking about Latinos.
But the sleeping Mexican has a long history in Mexican folk art. Rosalia Torres Weiner grew up in Mexico and remembers seeing these clay, sometimes ceramic figures sold in the marketplaces. Her grandmother had some in her garden. She was puzzled when she heard of Amalia's petition.
In Mexico, it's not a sign of like Mexicans are lazy, no. This is a sign of after a good meal, you need to take a siesta and you need to take a break.
Torres Weiner now works as an artist in residence with Latin American contemporary art projects.
I think the owner should, they have the right to decorate how they want it to look. And I think they're doing a good job. They have bright colors that represent our Mexican culture. The statues are funny, you know, like for me would say, you know, I had a really good meal at this restaurant and I'm going to take a siesta.
To get the real story behind the sleeping Mexican, you have to travel back to the late 1800s. At that time, traveling Americans first wrote about how Indios, exhausted after a full day's work, would wrap themselves in shawls and serapes and prop themselves against buildings to rest. In the 1930s, Mexican folk artists began using the image in their art. Diego Rivera drew him. In one of his pieces, titled Sleep, children doze in the arms of their mothers, themselves next to a man asleep under his sombrero. During the same decade, Mardonio Mangaña, the modernist sculptor, modeled statues and wood carvings depicting Mexican laborers wrapped in blankets. And in his book, The Sleeping Mexican Phenomenon, writer Charles Philip Jimenez points to these early examples and argues the sleeping Mexican doesn't sleep because he's lazy. It's because he's been working so hard. It wasn't until the 1940s, when the tourism industry kicked off, that merchants began mass-producing the sleeping Mexican. They were sold as souvenirs for Americans on vacation.
This is also the time of Aunt Jemima and Uncle Moses and sort of representations of black imagery. There's images of the Asian boy and girl. And then the Mexican reproduction enters that time.
That's Maribel Alvarez, a social scientist at the University of Arizona. Later, in the 50s and 60s, these kitschy collectibles became shorthand for the tequila-drinking, burro-riding, maraca-shaking Mexican caricature. Even the Carolinas saw this happening around World War II.
Do you remember South of the Border?
This is Astrid Chirinos, who works with the Latin American Economic Coalition in Charlotte.
That was a huge amusement park that was all about Mexico. You had hotels and rides and restaurants and all kinds of things. And it is right there in the border with South Carolina.
The roadside attraction, built in the 1940s near what's now I-95, is decked out with neon cacti, sombreros, and sombrero-wearing cacti. The place is still in operation today.
And there were tons of signs on the highway that say, come see Pedro, and Pedro is waiting for you. And I mean, over and over and over and over.
Chirinos doesn't remember any large-scale controversies, but times have changed. Chirinos says anti-immigrant political rhetoric has heightened many Latino sensitivities. This petition to remove Hot Taco statues is an example.
I wonder if this would have happened 10 years ago, 20 years ago. It would be different. It would be folkloric. But right now, it is a much more sensitive and delicate subject to talk about.
There is a movement among some Latino artists to reclaim the sleeping Mexican. Following this latest controversy, Rosalia Torres Weiner painted her own version of the siesta motif. In her painting, a traditionally dressed Mexican crouches on a bright orange landscape. He's behind a barbed wire fence, but there's a difference here.
My particular painting is not taking a nap. He's dreaming. He's dreaming for an immigration reform, and he's dreaming for a better future for us immigrants in the United States.
She wishes activists would focus on other issues, like immigration or education. But in the end, she's glad people are taking notice.
If it was not for this little guy, you know, maybe we would not be talking about our culture and us, you know, being present in Charlotte.
Hot Taco is owned by the Bottle Cap Group. It's a local company that owns several restaurants in the area. In fact, three of the other restaurants on this block are run by the Bottle Cap Group. The company has declined to comment for this story and says it doesn't plan to release a statement. For WFAE News, I'm Nick Delacanal.